Learning Liminal family, and welcome. Whether you've been here for decades or whether you're new to us, whether you're here in person or joining us online. My name is Jenny Downing, and I'm one of the pastors at Liminal Church. And if you're new to us, I'd like to give you a special welcome this morning and invite you to fill out a connection card. Those can be found by the door there or at the connection counter, just so that we'll know who you are and be able to know your name and thank you for being here. If you have any questions about Liminal, Kelsey Owen will be at the connection counter at the end of the service. She can answer any questions that you have, or she can point you in the direction of someone who will. Lastly, and by way of announcements, Liminal is funded by donations from its family. That would be you. And at present, we're not passing baskets, but you can donate either online, or you can, if you're a paper person like I am, you can put a check in a little box by the door. You are who keeps this place going. At this point, I'd like to dismiss the kids, or the kid, I think we have. And we wish you well. This morning is a contemplative service. It's a little different from our normal liturgy. And we like to start our contemplative service with passing the peace, which is a time-honored and age-old tradition of welcoming and wishing one another well. I'd like to draw your attention to the screen where Kelsey Owen and Denise Randolph will teach us and lead us in the passing of the peace using sign language. Once you've practiced it a few times with the video, Kelsey will invite you to pass the peace along with your Liminal brothers and sisters. This is a new practice to many of us, so if it doesn't come naturally, don't worry about it. Your smile will say it all. Let's have the video.
The passing of the peace is an ancient Christian custom. It is based on the risen Jesus' words to his disciples, "Peace be with you." In church tradition, during passing of the peace, we stand and turn to our neighbor and say, "Peace be with you." Our neighbor then responds, "And also with you." Then we turn to our neighbor on the other side of us and repeat. With these simple words and actions is a deep truth, the concept of shalom. Shalom is God's desire and intention to restore us and the world to wholeness through Jesus Christ. When we turn to each other and say or sign, "Peace be with you," we are praying for and blessing our neighbor. And in faith, we are stepping into God's plan for the world. So, I have Denise here to help me demonstrate this process. So I'm going to say, "Peace be with you," and she responds, "And also with you." Now, we're going to go ahead and show that a bit more slowly. So I'm going to sign with my hands folding over like this, "Peace," put my hands together with, and gesture towards her, "You." And she puts her hands out in this Y hand shape, "Also with you." Okay, now it's your turn.
Thank you.
this Sunday, being the last Sunday of the month, we've set apart as a contemplative time rather than having our normal sermon and worship songs. This means there will be times of silence for you to reflect on an image, a scripture, or a poem. If you have a journal or you picked one up at the front, there will be times for you to record your reflections, your questions, and your impressions. As we begin, I'm going to read a scripture to you, and as I do, I would encourage you to stay present with the story, solely the portion that I read. Don't skip over to the resolution that's very familiar to all of us. Imagine yourself as one of the characters in the scene, because they didn't know how the story would end. There will be questions to reflect upon, and again, I would invite you to journal your thoughts as we enter into the story together. Use the questions as prompts, but feel free to let your thoughts wander wherever God will take them. We prayerfully ask and trust that the Holy Spirit will guide each of you this morning. So to begin, get into a comfortable position. Let the chair hold you as if you were being held by the arms of God. Become aware of your breathing. Take a few deep breaths in and out, in and out. Become aware of any tension that's in your body. As you're able, release it. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. I'm going to read a passage of scripture to you, and I invite you to imagine that you are present in the scene as I describe it. Try to enter the story using all of your senses. What do you think you would see? What would you smell? What would you hear? What might you taste? What might you feel? What might you touch? It might help if you shut your eyes and try to imagine at the beginning, but then focus on the picture. It is evening after a very long and exhausting day. You can still feel the crowds as they press against you, trying to get close to Jesus. The grasping, the tumult of the crowd as everyone spoke at once, trying to get Jesus' attention. The heat and the dust of the day. The smell of the warm, sweaty bodies still invade your senses. Perhaps Jesus recognizes how tired you and the rest of the disciples are, because he suggests that he, you, and the other disciples take a boat and cross over to the other side of the lake. You feel such a sense of relief and look forward to some time alone with Jesus. When Jesus steps into the boat, the disciples pull away from the shore and leave the crowds behind, setting sail along with just a few other boats that follow at a distance. At first, the weather is fine, but as can happen, a storm quickly forms and grows increasingly violent. No stranger to sailing, most of the disciples are accustomed to squalls on the water, but not like this one. The winds whip up huge waves and crash against the boat, and they break over the bow, filling the boat with so much water that even the most experienced sailors among you are sure you're going to sink. Suddenly, everyone is in survival mode. Some bail water using whatever they can find, buckets, jars, cups, even their hands. Some work the sails, trying to heave to against the wind, but the gusts seem to be coming from everywhere at once, making normal procedures ineffective. The disciples are helpless in the face of the storm. Everyone is in a panic, trying frantically to do something to keep the boat from sinking. Everyone but one, that is. Jesus, it turns out, is back in the stern of the boat, sound asleep, lying peacefully on a cushion. Some of the disciples see this and they shake him until he awakens. The disciples shout over the storm, "Jesus, Master, don't you care that we're going to die?" I invite you now to draw your attention to the screen. This painting is by Rembrandt and is titled Christ in the Storm of the Sea of Galilee. For the next several minutes, we will prayerfully consider some prompts on the three sides that will appear on the screen. And if you would like, you can journal your thoughts. Between the three slides, I'll sound a chime, so you'll know when we advance to the next one, if you choose to sit quietly with your eyes shut. few moments to take a few more breaths in and out, in and out. We don't always see the resolution to the challenges that face us in the moment, nor do we always immediately see the hand of God at work. You may be facing something right now that cries out for resolution, where it feels like your ship is sinking and God is disturbingly silent or even absent or asleep. Perhaps you were drawn to consider recent world events, national events and tragedies that have taken place over the last weeks. And you wonder, how could a good God allow these things to happen? Allow those feelings to surface and hold them out to God. Tell God how you feel, even of the fear and the doubt and the crumbling seeds of faith, of the anger, of the hurt, the sense of betrayal and not understanding. These feelings are hard to hold for us, but not for God. Take a few moments and journal the feelings that have arisen. Tell God what, in all honesty, from the depths of your soul, you would like to say. Sometimes it helps to proclaim a truth even when we don't fully comprehend or experience it. The words that will appear on the screen in a moment are familiar to most of you, but instead of singing them this morning, I invite you to read the words slowly and prayerfully. Let them speak to you and for you, even if you are in a place of doubt and uncertainty. As you read them, consider what words and phrases stand out to you. What shimmers? Sit with those words or phrases for the next few moments. Let them really take root in your soul. Then take a few moments to journal any thoughts, insights, or feelings that arise. Well, we know on this side of Scripture that Jesus did wake up and he did calm the storm. But this is not the only time that the disciples floundered in doubt. There was that horrible Friday when Jesus was taken from the disciples, flogged, tortured, ridiculed, shamed, and ultimately crucified. At that moment, all their hopes and dreams and expectations were crucified on the cross, along with the one that they had thought was the Messiah. The Passover meal that they had celebrated together, the breaking of the bread, the drinking of the wine, acts that they understood symbolized the coming of the kingdom to earth, now seemed so hollow and so empty. But Jesus rose from the grave. So his command to remember each time they took the bread and wine took a completely new meaning. A few years later, the Apostle Paul offered bread and wine to the believers at the church in Corinth, not in anticipation of what this kingdom might be, but rather looking forward to it through the lens of an already risen Jesus. Taking communion together is not just a recollection of what Jesus did on the cross. It is a reminder of his present faithfulness, his love, in times when we are aware of that presence, and even more in times where we are not. And as we take communion together, we hold one another in communal faith that will help us stand when the going gets tough, when our questions go unanswered, when the waves get high. Let's listen to Paul's words. And then when I finish reading them, I invite you to come forward. There's communion elements on each side of the stage. Receive the bread and juice when you're ready. For those of you who prefer, there are gluten-free options, I think. Yes? It's all gluten-free. Well, there you have it. Thank you. Here's what Paul said. I passed on to you the tradition the Lord gave to me. On the same night the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread in his hands, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, broken for you." He said, "Keep doing this so that you and all who come after you will have a vivid reminder of me." And after they finished dinner, he took the cup. And in the same way, he said, "Whenever you drink this, remember me vividly, all you and you who come after." Paul went on to say, "Every time you taste this bread and every time you place this cup to your mouths and drink, you are declaring the Lord's death, which is the ultimate expression of his faithfulness and his love, until he comes again." I'd like to invite you to come forward and take communion together. Thank you. that you can and will stop the storm with a word. And Lord, in those times where you don't speak that word quite soon enough for our liking, we stand with one another. We help one another to keep our eyes above the wave, knowing that your grace is available in the deepest water, that it abounds. We thank you, Lord. Amen. This morning's contemplation may have brought some things to the surface that are troublesome to you. Sometimes our faith gets pretty shaky when the ground shakes. We like things to be tied up in a neat package and for God to be instantly available and meet our needs. But in his divine way, that's not how it works sometimes, which leaves us in that liminal space of dealing with the waves and looking at a sleeping Jesus. And that's where some of you may be this morning. And if it is, know that we stand with you. If that is not where you are this morning, know that as the liminal family, it is your responsibility to stand with the others who are. If you would like to talk or receive prayer, there'll be a couple of us standing in the back of the room. We can meet there to pray, to listen, to stand with you. Or if you would rather, there's a link on our website where you can share prayer requests and the leadership team will pray for you during the weeks to come, as long as it takes. Finally, as we close our service this morning, I would like to leave you with a benediction that I've taken from Psalm 91, verses 4 through 6, and a little bit of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 23. Like a bird protecting its young, God will cover you with his feathers. He will protect you under his great wings. His faithfulness will form a shield around you, a rock-solid wall to protect you. Therefore, let us hold strong to the confession of our hope, never wavering, since the one who promised us is faithful. Thanks be to God. The conclusion of our service. If you need to sit for a while, feel free. If you need to talk to someone, we'll be in the back. God bless you this week. May his face shine upon you and grant you peace.